good all weekend. Amen. The hospitality, the warmth. Appreciate so much the accommodations and my wife, the food, just the hospitality. It's hard to not see that we're in the house of the Lord amongst God's people. Thank God for that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Please be praying for us. I'm probably going to require a little water. If there's somebody with a bottle. Appreciate that. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. There's a lot in this. This is the account of the Good Samaritan. There's a lot you can say about it. There's a great practical lesson with the Good Samaritan. And there's a, to me, a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ in here. And I feel like need to bring out the practical lesson before we get into the picture of Jesus Christ. So I'll try to get to the practical lesson very quick. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." So there's a lawyer that stood up to tempt Jesus, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, that's a funny question, isn't it?
Yeah.
What shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, there's some brethren that I've stayed with that have ponds. I've always, brother Ronald, I don't know about you, I've always wanted a pond. I've always wanted a big lake, just stock it full of fish, and just let everybody come fishing. I mean, that's what I always wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you my little covetous bone. Do y'all have a covetous bone in you?
Sure, not
in you. I got a couple, you know. And my little covetous bone, I'm staying with my brothers and sisters, I'm like, maybe they might leave that to me one day, you know? They ain't gonna do it. They ain't gonna do it. They got kids, they got, you know, nieces and nephews, that ain't coming to me. You know, but in the back of my head, I'm like, maybe. But my whole point is this. There may be a day where I develop some money and I could be like, what could I do to buy this from you? But I could never say, what can I do to inherit this from you?
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you, in order to get an inheritance, you know what you got to be? A child of somebody.
Yeah.
You have to be in that family.
Yeah.
And you don't inherit things out of merit. You don't inherit things out of doing something. You inherit it just because of who you are.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that's waiting in heaven for us.
Amen.
And you know why? Because you're a child of God. Brothers and sisters, whenever people, I don't want to pick on nobody, I really don't, but I'm going to tell you, to me, the way some people preach the love of God or talk about the love of God, it just takes away from who God is. Whenever somebody just comes up and don't know me from nobody and says, smile because God loves you, and they just told the same thing to maybe some Esau out there, you know? I mean, like, do you understand? The love of God did something.
Amen. Right.
He said, God so loved the world that he sent. Paul says, who loved me and gave himself for me. You understand that? Over in Jeremiah 31 and 3, it says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. That foreknow there means to forelove. And I want to tell you, everybody that God loves is predestinated to go to heaven. Because it says, in whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Yeah.
That tells me that everybody that God loves is predestinated. Everybody that God loves is called. Everybody that God loves is justified. And everybody that God loves is going to be glorified in heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God's love is powerful. It does something. So behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of what manner? Look, if God's love didn't do nothing, how is it this great sort, this great identity, this great manner? The word manner means quality. If God's love did not secure nothing, did not do nothing, it just left a lot of chances out. person in here, if you could keep your child from dying before you died, if you had the power to do that, would you not do that?
Never buy the house, brother. Amen. Sure.
One of my favorite verses in the Bible is whenever Jesus wept, right? And he wept. And I talk about confessing your faults, Brother Ron. Isn't it much easier confessing other people's faults? I love that point. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you about my husband. Let me tell you about my wife. Let me tell you about my in-laws. Let me tell you about my church. How about let me tell you about me? Right? Let me tell you about me. I remember being a young, prideful preacher. Didn't even realize it. You know, try to tell everybody why Jesus wept. No, it's because he was calling Lazarus out of heaven. And Lazarus was in heaven. And he was weeping because of that. It tells us in Scripture why the Lord wept. He's seen Mary and Martha sorrowing for their brother.
Right.
He wasn't weeping because Lazarus died. He wasn't weeping because he was bringing Lazarus back. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Yeah. And he's seen Martha and Mary weep. He was touched with their mourning. He was touched with their grief. So he wept.
Yeah.
You know what that makes me feel? He is touched with my grief. Cast my care upon him. Me and Brother Jeff was talking about it last night, and then I talked to Lydia about it. We were so convicted on Brother Ronald's message on prayer last night. We need to pray more.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, make a checklist. What do you do more when something bad happens? Complain or pray?
Yeah.
Think about it. Whenever something bad happens, what do we immediately do? Maybe y'all ain't like me, but I'm like, come on. You know what I should be? Lord, help.
Yeah, amen.
Lord, help!
Yeah, amen. What was that? What must I do to inherit eternal life?
Let me go back to Lazarus. Thank you.
Oh, you'll be Lazarus. Okay, go ahead.
So, talking about the love of God. Thank you, though. You got me. You got me. I love Brother John. You know what? Brother and sister, I want to make this point. I pastor churches in Mississippi, Arkansas, Indiana, and Georgia. Guess what? We ain't all alike. We ain't all alike. You talking about country come to town. This old Cajun from Louisiana go pastor in North Indiana? Come on now. Do you realize how many unemployed English teachers work at gas stations in Indiana? I'd be like, hey, can I get? And they'll be like, yes, you may. I'm not looking for an English lesson. Just give me the candy bar. You know? But we're all different. Brothers and sisters, you need to understand this. The reason the Bible says that we need to be loving, long-suffering, forbearing one another, because we didn't come from the same cultures. I don't care if we're all white. We all came from different traumas in our lives. We came from different families. Some of us were raised that if you feel it, you don't say it, and you just eat it, and you don't say nothing. And other people were raised, if you feel it, you let it out. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you want to make people like you, you're going to be miserable.
Right.
You're going to be miserable. The little child of God feels like amen in the house of God, amen.
Yeah.
If you feel like saying hallelujah, say hallelujah.
Right.
If you feel like directing your attention and just look at the preacher and try to feed, do that.
Yeah.
We all got different gifts. We're all different people.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, Brother Jim preached to us about we want to be king. The Bible says to forgive. The Bible says to overlook. The Bible says to forbear and to be long-suffering. And whenever we see something that irritates us, that's not a sin by our brother and sister, and we want to get mad at them or we want to talk about them, you know what we're saying? I know what the king said, but I know what my king said, me in my heart, and I'm not going to do what the king said.
Amen.
I'm glad we ain't all like me. I'm glad we ain't all like you. Have you ever met anybody been like, man, aren't they cool? What if we were all like you? You would never have to say that. he commands us to be long-suffering, to be forbearing, to let brotherly love continue. Because you know why? Sometimes we're not. And sometimes we need to use those things. And sometimes we need to let brotherly love continue instead of backbiting and hate and animosity. And you know how I know that? Because I'm a sinner. When somebody don't act like me, you know what I want to do? You need to act like me. You know what I need to do? Man, I love that brother. Look, we're gathered here in the name of Christ.
Yeah.
We don't have to be unified in how many times we say amen. We don't have to be unified in how loud our gift is. We have to be unified in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We have to be unified in what Jesus did on the cross. We have to be unified that I'm going to tell you, every one of God's people are going to be in heaven because God wants you there and Jesus died for you.
Amen.
I mentioned this and I'll shut up on that point. Somebody's like, oh, he's quit. I've shared this with some of y'all before. I used to work in the ER and I'd work from 7 to 7 and I'd get off from work at the ER at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd come over to my mama's house. My mama's love language is food, Brother Daniel, and she loves me. She would love to cook me breakfast after I got off from work. And I remember one time my sister had just irritated me. Like, just irritated me to the fullest. And my mama's sitting there cooking pork chops and omelets and just working over the stove for me. And I'm running down one of the three individuals that she loves the most in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand that? She is serving me. She is showing me love. And I'm talking about 33% of the object of her affection. You understand that?
Yeah.
And my dad would tell you that she loved me and my mom, me and my sister more than him. But I don't know. That's debatable. She does love us. But and if anybody knows my mama, she's a loving soul.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there and I'm telling you, I am dragging my sister through the dirt. Not even thinking about it. This is my mama's child. And here my mama is listening to one of her two children just run down the other child. And how does that make you feel when that happens in your family? When your two children, you only got two and they can't even get along and they don't hate each other. They look like they just hate each other. Does that make you feel good? You know what my mama said, Brother Rick? She turned around and she looked at me and she put that old pork chop on my plate. She said, you know you're a sinner, right? I said, what? She said, you know you're not perfect, right? You know, that just got all over me. You know, of course the priest, yes, I've read Ephesians 2. I know I'm a sinner. You know. But what Mama was saying is, I love you and I see your faults.
Yeah.
I love her and I see her faults.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't make me happy that I see that y'all aren't unified. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord sees you.
Yeah.
And He knows your faults.
Yeah, amen.
He sees you and He knows your faults.
That's good, man.
We ain't got to remind each other that we're sinners. How many times have you heard somebody say something about a little child of God? I can't believe they did that. Really? Have you not read Romans 3? You know, have you not read Romans 7?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being sarcastic. I've said it too, Brother Jonathan. Yeah. I've said, I can't believe they did that. Yeah. We're sinners and we struggle in this broken world.
Amen.
And we don't condone sin. We don't advocate it. We don't help people along the way. To do that sin, we help them along the way out of that sin. We let them know that we're here for them.
Right, yes.
But brothers and sisters, we don't have to keep beating folks down. And a lot of times, if you're honest with yourselves, the thing that irritates us about one another ain't even sins.
Right.
It's just somebody accidentally said something or somebody does something a certain way.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that as God loved us and forgave us for Christ's sake, that's the same way we're supposed to love and forgive one another. You know what? Danny Wisner, because I'm a Primitive Baptist preacher, I should be the most forgiving soul on the face of this earth. Because I understand that the forgiveness that I have in Christ Jesus was not earned.
Right.
It was freely given by the blood of Jesus. And whenever I deal with my brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a saying we have around our area. You know, if you think about it, in Matthew 25, when Jesus looks at the sheep on the right hand, he mentions nothing but good works. When he looks at the goats on the left hand, he doesn't mention a good work. All he mentions is bad works. You know why? Because goats are not children of God, and people who aren't children of God aren't born again. Amen? And if you're not born again, guess what you never can do? A good work. Amen? And so whenever he looks at the sheep, his people on the right hand, all he mentions is good works. He doesn't mention a bad work. Aren't we sheep? Yes. Haven't you done bad works? Yes. But why didn't he mention one bad work? Because he was looking at you through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And sometimes when me and Lydia are like having intense fellowship, if you will, whenever we're having advanced tutorials and communication. Have y'all ever had that with your spouse?
Yeah.
I got a PhD in that. And sometimes me and Lydia, we just got to look at each other. You know what we'll do? Blood of Christ. Blood of Christ. Like this junk that we're arguing about, it ain't ever going to get resolved. Blood of Christ. Let's just start over.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, Jesus endured. Jesus endured the wrath. Jesus took on the shame. Brothers and sisters, the all-righteous, glorious King who didn't have an ounce or a milliliter of sin or unglory in Him took on every sin that we possess. And I want to tell you, that was shame. And He did that so that we could be in glory with Him. How much more should we humble ourselves and take on a little shame so we can worship together and glorify our God in unity of spirit and just praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
One of my favorite verses I was telling you is in John 11 when Jesus wept. And the Jews seen Jesus weep. And you know what they said? They said, look how he loved him. He's crying. They thought he was crying because Lazarus died. But the Bible tells us he seen the sorrow of Martha and Mary. And so that's why he wept. And they said, look how he loved him. Could not this man that healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, opened the ears of the dumb, touched lepers and they were cleansed, could not this man have kept him from dying? Brother Paul, this is something I wish every child of God on the face of this earth understood. You see, what they understood was, if Jesus had the power and he had the love, you understand what I'm saying? If he had the power and he had the love, then why wasn't Lazarus alive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If God has all the power and he has the love, what allows a little child of God to be in hell? Not a thing. You know why? Because he has the power and he has the love.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, Jesus did love Lazarus and he raised him from the dead. Isn't that a beautiful thought?
Yeah.
Like they understood that concept that if he has the power and he has the love, why isn't this man healed? And I'm going to tell you, you talk about people talking about the love of God, we need to let them know if God has the power and he has the love, what hinders God? Nothing.
Amen.
So, we're not going to go to the practical lesson of Luke 10, okay? I see what time it is. But It's a beautiful practical lesson. And if anybody says, well, he just looked at the picture and didn't look at the practical lesson, I tried to get there, okay? But the picture, to me, it's a beautiful picture. Over in Luke 10, we have this lawyer, and I do got to bring this out. The man asked the Lord how to inherit. The Lord said, how do you read the law? And the man says this. He said unto him, Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou answerest right, this do, and thou shalt live. And I'm going to tell you, if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, you're going to be living, brothers and sisters.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be living that abundant life. You know how much you will be reigning with Christ in this life? If we were able to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, what man, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't done that while I'm preaching. I thought some foolish thought. Man, if we could do that, I'm going to tell you, you'd be, you know that song, walking in sunlight, all of my journey, you'd be doing that. And then loving your neighbor as yourself, I'm going to tell you, you'd just be floating on clouds with the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord says, you said right, go and do likewise. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You say, well, you got a lot of favorite verses. I do. It says, and him willing to justify himself. The Lord, he just said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, and him willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor?
Yeah.
You know what that means? He ain't treating everybody the same.
Right.
There's groups of people that he ain't treating like his neighbor. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, let us not be like that whenever we read the Bible. Do you not read the Bible sometimes and it convicts you and you're like, well, I really didn't do that. That's you willing to justify yourself. I do it all the time. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done this, I suggest this to the highest. So give me 10 minutes, I'm getting down, okay? But I suggest this to the highest. I've always tried to read the book of Proverbs a couple times a year, but this year I started trying to read it through every month. That's roughly a proverb a day. In February, you're going to have to read. On the 28th, you're going to have to read, what, 3 or 4 proverbs. You know, on the days that it's got, on months it's got 30 days in a month, the 30th day, you're going to have to read 2 proverbs. But the Proverbs is the book of wisdom, right? And I've been trying to read a proverb every day, other reading, of course, because I'm a minister and I need to do that. And you're a child of God, you need to do that too. But I'm going to tell you, it's been awesome. And not awesome because I'm wise. Awesome because Brother Daniel, I was granting myself a lot of passes. I thought I was pretty good, Brother Ronald. Them proverbs be shooting at me every day. I had a conversation with Brother Paul yesterday. I read my proverb today, Proverb 18, go and read it. Woo, boy. I seen Brother Paul. I was like, hey, brother, I apologize that I said this and that. I mean, it'll get you. It'll get you. And we need that. We need to read the word and be convicted to try to walk in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it says, he willing to justify himself said, who is my neighbor? And then the Lord gives this parable or this story about this man who fell. He gives this story about this man who fell and who was left half dead. And if he was left alone, he was going to die. Brothers and sisters, you and I fell in Adam in the Garden of Eden. And if we were left alone, guess what was going to happen? We were going to die and go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, there was a Levite that walked by. He went on the other side. And there was a priest that walked by. And he went on the other side. You know what that tells me? That priest, the preacher, the holy man, he ain't going to save you.
Right.
The Levite, you know what that tells me?
The law.
Religion ain't going to save you.
Right.
But then there was a certain Samaritan that came by. Y'all know what a Samaritan is?
Yeah.
Samaritan is half Jew and half Assyrian. So this man with two natures walked by. I'm going to tell you,
Jesus Christ ain't half nothing. He's all God and he's all man without sin.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, this Samaritan represents Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, that Samaritan walked by, and this is some of like you're talking about picturesque verse, like painting the pictures. Who mentioned that yesterday? Painting pictures?
Yeah.
You, Brother Paul. This is beautiful to me. Jump in here with me real quick. In the 33rd verse of Luke 10, and I'm about to wrap it up. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him. Brothers and sisters, the love of God, Paul says, who loved me and gave himself to me. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it said this Samaritan, he's seen this man in a dire condition. He's seen this man in a helpless condition, and he didn't say, come here and I'll give you help. He went to him.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ came down from heaven and he came to us.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, and y'all know how he was born again? Jesus came to him.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, dead in trespasses and sins, and y'all know how he was born again?
Yeah.
Jesus came to him.
That's right.
And y'all know how you were born again? Jesus came to you.
Yeah.
You know how you're going to heaven? Jesus came down from heaven. He died on the cross, and he died for you. He went to him. Ooh. Have y'all felt him this weekend?
Yes.
You know why?
He came.
He gave them, huh?
Because he went to you.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
And bound up his wounds. I love this part. You see, I'm a nurse. I've treated a lot of wounds. I've never poured in. I've poured on. You understand that? And here it says he poured in oil and wine. Y'all know what oil represents? The Holy Ghost. Represents the Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, y'all know why we're born again? Because Jesus has poured in the
Amen.
Spirit into us.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, whenever he did that, he washed you. He applied the blood in you.
Yeah.
You understand that? Vitally. On the cross, the blood paid for you legally. But I'm going to tell you, whenever you're born again, the blood is applied to you vitally. You live. You are washed with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And look what it says here. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. I can't help but see that man laying down there and him just picking him up. And he putting him on his beast. Y'all know what that makes me think about, Brother Jeff? He has raised us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's so much preaching in this, I just got to move on. And then look what it says. And brought him to an end. Now this doesn't happen to everybody. The end is the church.
Mm-hmm.
He brought him to an end. And took care of it. Brothers and sisters, this is the place that we take care of each other. You know, some people say, I quit going there because I didn't get nothing. Well, what did you give?
Yeah.
I was talking to Brother Ronald about what Brother Cecil Daugherty said one time. He said, you know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he says, and I want you to be blessed, so you give me all you can. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, you coming here to give? Well, who can I give something to, Brother Danny? I'm going to tell you, that man, Brother Daniel, or whoever serves you, whenever, they're trying to feed you the Word of God. You give them your attention.
Yeah.
You give them your prayers.
Amen.
And whenever you feel something whammed up in you where you want to go, amen. Don't manufacture it, but don't grieve it either.
Right.
Don't quench it either. Right. I remember in Natchez, Mississippi, Salem Primitive Baptist Church, sitting there, nobody in our church, amen. One time, Brother George, every once in a while, the preacher got really good. I'm talking about if heaven came down, look, Brother George, 75 years old, bald-headed brother, loved him to death. He loved the fish. I loved the fish. Every once in a while, you just see Brother George's little bald, shiny head just glistening, moving, and you knew it was about to come, Brother Jeff, because he couldn't contain it, and he'd go, amen. And then that old glistening, bald head would just calm down a little bit, and then 4 months later, you see it working up again, and you, amen. But the church that I started, people didn't amen. They still worshiped the Lord. They still loved the Lord. Still felt the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ still walked among the candlesticks. But let me tell you something. There was a time where I just got tired of quenching it down.
Yeah.
I just got tired of having that heartburn. And the Holy Ghost got good. And the preaching got good. And I just went, amen. And I was like, ooh. And I tell you, one time I was preaching at the Salem Association in Western Arkansas, and I was talking about my Savior, my Lord, my God, my King. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't even know it. I just went, woo!
Yeah.
And it just came out. And somebody in the handshake told me that I shouted. I didn't even know I shouted. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I've been with Sister Nelda one time at the Rich Mountain Association, and we were singing, and we all just felt it. And she went, woo! She was holding like her 6-month-old baby, and that baby started crying his head off. Like, she goes, woo! And that baby, yeah! And she's like, woo! But I'm going to tell you, whenever she did that, there was just like we all felt it.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to manufacture.
Right.
But I'm telling you not to quit. And I'm going to tell you, you want to nod your head at your pastor, you give him that.
Yeah.
You want to amen your pastor, you give him that. You want to tell him. Look, one time I was called on to pray after the preacher was blessed, and I wanted to say something in my prayer about what he said, but I didn't want him to think that I was trying to be some type of way. How stupid was that of me? How much that would have encouraged him to know that his preaching had an effect on me.
Amen. Yeah.
If you just want to shoot Brother Daniel a text, like, that touched me. Brothers and sisters, let us give one another stuff.
Amen. Yeah.
And the stuff that we need to give, hey, if you need money, I'll give it to you. But you know what we really need? Money's going to get spent. You're going to need it again, okay? And I ain't got that much, so I might not be able to give it to you next. But you know what we need? We need love. We need love. That's the reason I'm a Primitive Baptist. Because before I believed in election, before I believed in predestination, I believed that the people that believed that were the children of God because I see their love.
Right.
He took me to an inn and he got took care of. And then he says this. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he told the innkeeper and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. You know what he said? If this doesn't cover whatever he owes you, I'll take care of it. You know what that means? No matter what the price is, he's paid the cost. Brothers and sisters, I don't care if you killed somebody. I don't care what you've done. If you're a little child of God, he paid the cost.
Amen.
I love you and God bless you.
What can wash